Hi, and welcome to the South Central PA Mom Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, where we discuss motherhood, local events, and everything in between right here in South Central PA. So sit back, grab a coffee a while, and settle in for the show. Hello, hello, and welcome back, everyone. Hope you've been having a good week. Today, I want to talk about Down syndrome. This week we have on the 21st, March 21st, is World Down Syndrome Day. And for anyone who is not familiar, I am the mom to six kids, and one of them, my 11-year-old son, does have Down syndrome. So this is something that is definitely a personal, I don't want to say issue, but it's something that, you know, is important to me and to our family. And I think it's important for people to learn some more about it also, because I can say from my own experience and then just from seeing, you know, what's going on in the world, ableism and ignorance and misunderstandings when it comes to disability are still a very, very big problem. So I hope you'll tune in with us a little bit and hopefully learn a few things. So I'm going to start off and talk a little bit about our story. My husband was in the Marine Corps, and while he was still on active duty, we got pregnant with our second child. And at that time, he had just come back from a deployment in Afghanistan, and we already knew he was going to be deploying again soon, back to Afghanistan for the second time. And got pregnant, you know, it was fine. We knew right away, just from the timing, he was not going to be home for the birth. Wasn't the best news in the world, but you know, when you're a military family, it's just one of those things, you know, might happen. And it was, you know, okay, it's fine, we'll deal with it. So we went for all of our checkups and everything in the first trimester, and TRICARE would pay for an ultrasound if you got what is called the nuchal translucency screening. So what this is an ultrasound and a blood test. The two of them together are the screening. And in the ultrasound, they measure the thickness of the baby's neck. And then that plus the blood test, they put those together to give you essentially what are odds of if your child has Down syndrome or not. I did it because I wanted the ultrasound. I just wanted to be able to see the baby. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, it never even crossed my mind that it might come back positive. And it did. And this is something that I just want to point out. A lot of people, I have heard from other people who have heard this firsthand, or people that have heard about my story and for example, I was still pregnant, and they would say, oh, well, you know, those tests, I got told they're positive all the time, and it turned out to be wrong. I think that this might be why a lot of these stories get circulated, because it's not a diagnostic test. A lot of the screenings, and that includes the blood tests that are now, you know, they're advertised as being 100% accurate. They're not. These are not diagnostic. They are screening tools. They are meant to essentially help you decide if you want to get a diagnostic test. So it comes back positive, but that just means you have higher odds. It's not actually, yes, your baby has Down syndrome. So in my case, the odds were 1 in 6. And we had to decide what, you know, we wanted to do. And ultimately, I opted to get the amniocentesis done. Mostly it was because I just felt like I didn't want to go through the rest of the pregnancy with this hanging over my head, you know, is he going to have Down syndrome? Is he not? You know, I needed to know. So we agreed to get the amnio, and an amniocentesis is the only diagnostic test during pregnancy. There is also the CVS that you can do. But again, this is a screening. It is a more accurate screening, just like the blood tests. But the only actual diagnostic test is an amnio. So we went to go and we were referred to a maternal fetal medicine specialist. And not long after we got all of that arranged, my husband deployed. It was New Year's Day, 2012. 2 days later, I got the amnio done. I was super afraid. Oh my gosh, I was so scared because I had heard all of these horror stories about how painful, you know, getting an amniocentesis is. You know, I heard that it like burns when they're withdrawing the fluid and it's like excruciating and horrible and blah, blah, blah. So for anyone who might be listening who, you know, might one day need to have an amnio, I'm here to tell you it's not that bad. So you can rest your mind at ease on that point. I mean, it's not like fun, but it was not excruciatingly painful. I just kind of looked at the ceiling and mostly it felt like pressure. And that was it. And it took, you know, a few seconds. It didn't take long. It wasn't like a long procedure. They just literally, they take the needle, they put it in your stomach and they pull it out, you know, it less than a minute. And it wasn't really that bad. And they did expedited testing for me. And within a few days, so just in case anyone is curious how quickly all of this happened, my husband, he deployed on a Sunday. I had the amnio testing done on a Tuesday, and Friday they called me. And when the nurse called, she asked me to hold for the doctor. And that right there is when I knew it was going to be positive, because if it was negative, you know, she would have just said, oh, it's negative. So I knew that it was going to be positive. And so the doctor got on the phone and he said, you know, that it was positive. It was the results came back male positive for trisomy 21. Trisomy 21 is a clinical term for Down syndrome. And so that was how, you know, we found out that my son was going to have Down syndrome and my husband was in Afghanistan and I was all alone. At the time it was definitely just this terrifying, traumatizing thing. I cried literally for days. I was, you know, near hysterical and just, I was so scared and I felt guilty for being scared. I felt guilty for being sad. And it took a while for me to come to some level of acceptance. I think it took a couple of weeks. You know, I stopped crying after a couple of days, but, you know, I came to a point where it was like, you know what, this is going to be okay. And fast forward to June, you know, my husband was still in Afghanistan. And so he was able to be there for the birth through Zoom. And you know, we had Wyatt and everything, you know, everything's fine. Now, fast forward, we have an 11-year-old and he has Down syndrome and it's, you know, fine. A lot of my reaction, I fully believe, is because I never knew anyone with Down syndrome growing up. I'd never even met anyone with Down syndrome until I had Wyatt. Wyatt, my son, is literally the first person I ever met with Down syndrome. Like literally, he came out of my body and I met someone with Down syndrome. We had, you know, a best buddies program at my high school. But I never saw them, you know, like they must have been there because otherwise we wouldn't have had that program, right? Or maybe not people with Down syndrome, but other people with intellectual disabilities. I never met anyone like that. They weren't walking around in the hallways. I never saw anyone. They never interacted with us. I never came across anyone. So, you know, the only the only picture you have is what you see in our cultural mindset of what disability is. And that is very, very negative. And so that formed my reaction. And that's, you know, part of what I wanted to talk about today is, why do we see disability as something so bad? You know, like even now, you know, all these years later, I'm still, you know, there's still things that you have to get used to as a parent of a child with disabilities, especially a child with intellectual disabilities. You always hear in the news about these people, you know, some of us, my friends that are Down syndrome moms, will joke about, you know, the rock stars, the ones who are reading super early, or, oh, they're riding a bike and they're only 6 years old. And the ones that are, you know, running marathons and starting businesses and doing all of these amazing things. And, what about the ones who aren't the rock stars, you know, in the Down syndrome community? And that was something that I, you know, kind of struggled with as, you know, I dealt with Wyatt getting older. And you start to see, okay, well, my son has this intellectual disability, and you spend all this time being told, my kid with Down syndrome can do anything. And, you know, this is the or to have a child with a disability because things are so much better. And all of that is true. I'm not saying it's not true. And, but then you also have to realize that just like everyone else in the world, people with Down syndrome have different skills and abilities. Some people are going to be better at some things than others. Some people are worse at some things. Some people are smarter than other people, you know. Like I am obviously smarter than some people in the world. And there are obviously other people who are much, much smarter than I am, right? The same thing happens for people with Down syndrome. So you come to this point, or at least I came to this point, where I was grappling with, you know, what if my kid is not one of these rock stars? What if he does have to live with us the rest of his life? What if he does never have the ability to be independent? And here's where I'm going with this. I kind of had this brainwave of, what if he's never independent? Like, really? Is that the worst thing that I'm worried about? Like, okay, so he lives with us. You know, is that the worst thing that I have to deal with in my life, is that my son might live with me? Okay. You know, and I think that that's part of the problem when we talk about disability. We have this mindset in the United States and probably a lot of industrialized nations that everyone has to be the best at everything. You have to accomplish something. Your life is not worthwhile unless you, you know, you have to hustle and do the best and get a promotion, and you've got to go to college, and you've got to make the most money as you can, and you have to buy a house, and God knows you can't get married and have kids until you have a house and the nice car and everything in your life is perfect and blah, blah, blah. That's toxic even for your neurotypical people. But it's also coloring how we see people who have disabilities, because a lot of people, especially with developmental or intellectual disabilities, they may not ever have the ability to do those things. And our response should be, so what? But it's not, because in this hustle culture we have, you know, someone's worth is essentially defined by what they can achieve and what they can accomplish. And it's sad. It's so sad if you have a child that has to live with them for the rest of your life, right? It's like considered, you know, just this horrible fate, when it shouldn't be. It's okay. And that's not to say that it's not hard, especially depending on, you know, the person's neurodivergence. You know, there are some people it can be very difficult, and that's a whole other conversation about the better need for support in this country for families that, you know, have disabilities. But ultimately, the point here is that, you know, we have to, I think, change the way we look at these things. It's okay if my son lives with me for the rest of his life. I've come to realize that. It's not a big deal. And despite that, there is still the expectation in the world, just generally speaking, that people with Down syndrome and other disabilities are just not capable, even though they are, you know, more than ever. There is this mindset that people with Down syndrome are, I like to refer to it as like little angel puppies. you know, I will meet people and they will tell me, oh, well, you know, you're so lucky because people with Down syndrome, they're just little angels. They're happy all the time. And that's when you picture someone with Down syndrome, I guess that's the stereotype, right? It's just this happy, loving person that loves everyone and just loves to make everyone else happy and loves to give hugs. And people will think, oh, well, that's a positive, you know, representation, right? Well, I mean, no, it's not, because people with Down syndrome experience the full range of emotions, just like everyone else. They have the same human experience as everyone else. And I can tell you right now that my son is not always happy. He gets angry and throws things and pushes and hits his siblings just like all the rest of them do. And sometimes he's happy and sometimes he's sad and sometimes he's excited or tired or just like, you know, all the rest of us. And that's something that gets lost when you describe someone like that, like this little angel puppy who is just there to make everyone happy and is all full of love and that's it. That's all they do. That's all they can do. And not only does it deprive them of their human experience and of the emotions that all of us have, it also kind of infantilizes them. People with Down syndrome, particularly adults, are viewed as like they're a child always, no matter what. You know, it doesn't matter how old they are or what their experiences are. People see Down syndrome because it's a visible disability, and they immediately make these assumptions that, well, they can't have a drink or they can't work this job or they can't get married or anything else. You know, it's they're treated as if they're a child, even though they're an adult. This happens in the medical sphere. There's a lot of controversy right now with a lot of parents that are bringing this up more, and adults with Down syndrome, you know, self-advocates talking about how, for example, they go to see doctors and the doctor will speak to their parents and not to the person with Down syndrome themselves. So they'll ask a question, you know, oh, well, how are you, how is your child, what brings your child in today? And what's their medical history and on and on, instead of talking to the person themselves. There's just this assumption that they're a child forever and ever and ever, and they're not an adult. And there's not a cultural assumption that they're capable of doing things. So that leads me to another thing I wanted to spotlight, and that is the World Down Syndrome Day ad, PSA, whatever you want to call it, from CORE Down, which is an Italian Down syndrome organization. And it's called Assume That I Can, and it's fantastic. And it is narrated by an actress with Down syndrome. It's amazing. It's been getting applauded so much by everyone in the Down syndrome community. And I am going to play that for you right now. So I hope that you're able to listen and kind of get it, even though you can't see the video. I'll make sure to include it in the show notes. But it makes a lot of really good points. So here we go.
Bartender, you a student? I cannot drink the margarita. So you don't serve me a margarita? I don't drink a margarita. Your assumption becomes reality. And parents, you assume that I cannot live on my own. So you don't encourage me to live on my own. So I don't live on my own. Coke, you assume that I cannot hit harder. So you don't train me to hit harder. So I don't hit harder. in teacher, you assume that I cannot learn Shakespeare. So you don't teach me Shakespeare. So I don't learn Shakespeare. E-I-E-I-O. But hey, if all your assumptions become reality, then the state has to drink a margarita. So you serve me a margarita. So I drink margarita. This is a candle of my mom. I live on them. This is like this one. This is like Chandler Shakespeare. So, who was these mortal beings? They're fucking Shakespeare. You assume I can't swear, right? I think I can be on dog. So I can go on parties. That I can have sex. That I can be on stage. I assume that I can. So maybe I will.
Yeah, so that's it. I think it's a really powerful ad. It's hard, I think, for a lot of people because, again, especially our generation, we weren't raised with people with Down syndrome, right? So we don't have this knowledge firsthand. And so we have the stereotype. Or, you know, just kind of this distant vision of what people with Down syndrome are like. When in reality, it's not the truth. And assumptions do become reality. And that is not just about individually. It's also, you know, culturally. Like they mentioned, you know, it's on all of us, the people that just you interact with in and around the world. You know, she mentions the bartender and the teacher and her coach. You know, you go to a gym and maybe the personal trainer there just assumes, oh, well, this person, they can't do that much, so I'm not going to push them that hard. Or the teacher, oh, well, they're just a person with Down syndrome. They're intellectually disabled. How much can they really do? When it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, as they point out in this ad. No one works harder to give them the opportunity, so therefore, it doesn't happen. So what do we have, you know, as the reality for Down syndrome today? You know, if we're talking about what it is and what it means and myths and truths and things like that. So I mentioned that, you know, trisomy 21 is the clinical name, and that is because Down syndrome, if you're not familiar, is when a person has an extra copy of the 21st chromosome. We all have 46 chromosomes, and for people with Down syndrome, they have 47. The way that the chromosomes work is there are 23 chromosomes and you have two copies of each one. For Down syndrome, you have the 21st chromosome. There is an extra one. So that's trisomy, three of them, 21. It does have a higher risk the older you get, but the majority of people with Down syndrome are born to younger mothers. I was in my 20s. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I'm 22 and I'm not going to have a child with Down syndrome. I mean, you can, you might, you never know. It's not like this only happens to old women. It happens to everyone. It occurs across all races, economic levels. You know, there's no, like, you're only old or, you know, white or poor, whatever. Down syndrome occurs everywhere among all people. Yes, there are increased risks, health risks, which is one of the things that, you know, worried me so much, when I first got the diagnosis. But one of the things that is really important to remember right now is that virtually all of these are treatable today, anyway. that certainly wasn't the case in the past. For a multitude of reasons. One is that medicine has just in general advanced. So now we have more that is able to be done about various, you know, heart defects, for example, or what have you. The other issue is that in years past, right up until the 80s, it was perfectly legal for a parent to decide, I don't want to treat my child with Down syndrome. I just had birth and it's a baby with Down syndrome. And I don't really want a kid with Down syndrome. And they have a treatable health condition, but I don't want them. So I'm just going to deny that and they will die. And that sounds horrible. But again, I will leave it in the show notes. It is 100% true. That happened. It was common for a lot of people to believe that Down syndrome was essentially a fate worse than death. And so the kinder thing, even though there were available medical interventions, was to do nothing and to just let the baby die. So you have a couple of combined things, is that medicine has advanced, one, and two, you have that it is no longer, most of the time, allowed for doctors to, or parents to deny a child medical treatment because, you know, their life is just seen as not worth living. So those two things combined, you have from the 80s to now, people with Down syndrome, their life expectancy has more than doubled. Now it's pretty much about the same as your typical adults. So when you hear all of these, you know, scary things about, you know, people with Down syndrome have all of these health problems, I mean, they're at higher risk for them, but they're also largely treatable. And some of them that are really scary, like cancer, you know, you hear, okay, well, people with Down syndrome, children specifically up to the age 5, are at a higher risk for getting leukemia. This is true. They are also, however, much more likely to survive leukemia, much more likely to survive leukemia, so much so that scientists are actually doing research to find out why it is that children with Down syndrome are more likely to survive, because the thought there is that if they can figure that out, they can use it as a treatment for other people. And while people with Down syndrome are more likely to get leukemia, they're also less likely to get solid tumor cancers, which is another thing that scientists are trying to figure out, because again, that could unlock treatment for people who don't have Down syndrome. So there's some cool things there. Down syndrome is not rare. It is actually the most commonly occurring chromosomal condition. You have the intellectual disability, and that is true, but it is mild to moderate. It is not, you know, extreme. It's not like they can't learn. People with Down syndrome can learn and accomplish things just like anyone else. People with Down syndrome are able to be members of their community, you know, and participate in anything from, you know, community events to, as was mentioned in the core Down ad, you know, going to a bar and having a drink and, you know, going to a club or a party. They're able to work. They are able to get married, and there's just so much that people with Down syndrome are capable of, even though it just, you know, people don't see it a lot of the time. We still don't really know why Down syndrome occurs. That's something that is still being discovered or researched, I should say. But ultimately, it is something that is not negative. It's not a bad thing. We all know, I think, and have come to this understanding that the world is a better place with people that are different from us, right? Especially when it comes to, say, race. There is a much better cultural understanding that it's a good thing to have lots of diversity. And it is. That goes for disability also, right? So Down syndrome is not anything to be scared of. It's not a negative. It's not a bad thing. It's not something to be sorry for. So please, for the love of all that is holy, if you have a friend or family member that says, oh, I just found out that my baby has Down syndrome, don't say I'm sorry. Please don't say I'm sorry. Say congratulations. That's all of us here in the Down syndrome community are begging you, don't say I'm sorry. It's still a happy occasion. And if you have a child in your kid's class that has Down syndrome, invite them to your birthday parties, encourage your friend to be friends, your kid to be friends with them, include them. And it will make the world a better place. I know that sounds kind of trite and cliched, but it's true. Because one, it's going to promote that acceptance of people who are different. And two, each generation that comes about and they're interacting with people who are different from them, whether it's a different race, different abilities, different religions, that generation is going to grow up. And suddenly people who are a different race or a different ability or a different religion are not people to be feared. And that's what we need to make a difference in this world. So if you are able to, you know, reach out to those families that you know and have them over so that your kids can be around them. And if you find out you're having a, you know, kid with Down syndrome yourself, feel free to reach out. I am more than happy to talk to anyone who needs that help to get through it. And don't be scared. You know, it's World Down Syndrome Day coming up on this Thursday, 3/21, obviously, because it's, you know, tries me 21, 3/21, ha ha. For anyone who is listening who might want to come celebrate with us, there is going to be a celebration at Trogues in Hershey. So hopefully you'll stop by and have a good time with us. And for the meantime, that's it for us today. I hope you learned something. I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. Make sure you tune in next week. That's our episode for this week. New episodes will drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Leave us a review and share to help other moms find us. Thanks for stopping by the Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, the only podcast by South Central PA moms for South Central PA moms. Until next time.